Well, welcome. It's always good to be doing good for us, to be doing what the Lord wants us to be doing on this day, which is hearing His word and praising Him for His great kindness to us. Our order of service this morning will be the Divine Service Setting 1, beginning on page 151. The opening hymn is 703.
730,
yes. I hope things go better. Sermon hymn is 654. Then for communion, 683, 685, 743, and our closing hymn will be 673. We will sing our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned
against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
For the sake
of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As an ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
help, comfort, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson is written in the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning at the 6th verse. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is written in the eighth chapter of Romans, beginning at the 28th verse. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, and this is the way it seems sometimes, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of the Lord. We will confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed on the top of page 159. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again, according and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and we will sing the sermon hymn number 654. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is from St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Christ Jesus, dear friends, this is a simple parable, isn't it? Its meaning is clear. The kingdom of heaven is the most valuable treasure and most beautiful possession anyone can ever acquire. But no one can acquire it unless they give up all, their whole treasure, in exchange for the kingdom of heaven. Now think about what that means to you. Think of all of the nice things, the dear people, and the enjoyable activities you value very highly. Think of all the wealth you already have in your family, friends, and possessions. Think of life itself. Think of the land you live in. Freedom. You have many fine, beautiful, and valuable pearls. Some of those pearls you probably think of as common or maybe a bit flawed. Some aren't worth much, but you treasure them anyway. And others you couldn't put a price on because they are so very dear to you. You know, among the peoples of ancient times, pearls had a very special place in their hearts. They desired to possess a lovely pearl, not only for its money value, but for its beauty. They found pleasure in a pearl's smooth, cool surface and in gazing at the pearl's intricate beauty. In some instances, they said it was the loveliest thing in the world. They found joy in merely admiring and thinking about it. And also among the ancient peoples, pearls were bought and sold at a fabulous price. But it was only the most perfect pearls that commanded the huge prices. Any imperfection, even the slightest, greatly reduced its value. So merchants would scour the markets of the world to find one pearl of exquisite and unsurpassed beauty. Now, again, there are many fine things in the world in which you can find loveliness and beauty. It is also true that you already possess many fine pearls. But do you appreciate their value, their beauty as you ought? And do you realize their true value? Do you prize and treasure what you already have? Would you trade any of them? You know, beauty is not only in the eyes of the beholder, but even more in the good sense to appreciate true value. And now ask yourself this. Are you capable of having your own standards and values without allowing others who have different, very different standards and values degrade and diminish your treasure? Now look, because someone doesn't have the capacity to understand or appreciate the merits of a good thing, does that make it of less value to you? Say an uneducated and uncultured person finds no delight or no loveliness whatsoever in knowledge or history, music, literature,
the arts. Does that mean you cannot and dare not find pleasure in them? Does the world or do people around you dictate to you what is of value or not? But really, this world's standards of value often don't reach much higher than the bottom of the barrel, do they? Or even the top of the gutter. One of Aesop's fables is about a dog who found a bone and was happily taking it home. And on the way, he had to cross over a little bridge, and it happened that he glanced into the water. And there he saw another dog that looked much like him, who also had a bone, which looked a little bigger than his. Well, he growled and shook his head, and the other dog growled and shook his head. And then he nipped at the dog, trying to grab the bone, and of course lost his own in the water below. Now that's a dumb dog. Of course, that doesn't only happen to dogs, does it? How many people have gone after things that really have no substance and no value, and in the process lose what they had? Now that's, that's not a very smart person, is it? Obviously, the kingdom of heaven is called the pearl of great value because it is far superior and much more expensive. It costs the lifeblood of the Son of God, you know. And the kingdom of God lasts infinitely longer than anything else you might value. On earth, you have a limited family for a limited time, and in heaven, you have the whole family of God for eternity. On earth, you have pleasures that last for a little while, every now and then, with a good bit of pain, too. In the kingdom of heaven, there will be joy and delight forevermore. Here there are some good things that you can enjoy every once in a while. In the new heaven and the new earth, there will be only good things that will fully enthrall and thrill you without end. And it's always been true, and it was going to be true. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. In Jesus' parable, the merchant sold all the lesser pearls. In fact, he sold all that he had to acquire the pearl of great value. I think that Jesus is making it quite clear that it is likely that you will have to give up your pearls of lesser value too. Some of those lesser pearls will be things that are very good and that even have real value in God's estimation too, and you will miss them. However, when you consider the priceless and the everlasting value of the kingdom of heaven, then maybe you better also give some thought to whether you shouldn't willingly and gladly give them up. And you know, this is not just a nice little story that Jesus made up. The meaning is absolutely true, and he is serious. Anyone who honestly desires the most valuable treasure that can ever be possessed, the kingdom of heaven, can have it. Christ bought it. But it will also cost you. Now, I don't know. Maybe it will cost you everything. In fact, I think in one way or another, in some way, at some time, it will cost you everything. It did cost your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, everything. Think about what it cost him. It cost the disciples everything. It cost the saints everything. In one way or another, everything. A few weeks ago, you heard Jesus say, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Have you ever thought about this, though? The kingdom of Satan costs everything, too. Sin pays monstrous dividends. A person gets eternal death in hell. As Jesus said, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a whole lot worse deal than the dog who lost his bone, isn't it? And think about this. At death, everyone gives up or already has given up everything. You brought nothing into this world, and surely you are going to take nothing out of this world. And when your life is over, I guarantee you will get a kingdom. Either the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of God. But Jesus also has the most amazing and wonderful and encouraging promises for those who pay the price of the pearl of great value. He says things like this, "But seek first," it means only, "so seek only the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Did you get that? All these things will be added unto you. He said, "He who has found his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it." Or this, "There are many more. And everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters and father and mother or children or farms for my sake shall receive many times as much and shall inherit eternal life." You believe what Jesus said, don't you? Well, that's what Jesus said. You shall receive many times as much, and you shall inherit. God does work in some strange and mysterious ways. In order for you to appreciate the best, at times good things are going to be taken away from you. In order to rise to the highest level, first God sets people lower. To give the eternal, he takes away the temporal. But that's because he loves you and cares more for you than anyone else does. You heard in the scripture lessons, Old Testament and New, he made you because he loves you. And he insists that you have nothing less than everlasting life in his kingdom of heaven. Now that's good, isn't it? That's the best. Nothing else will satisfy him, and he wants nothing else and nothing less to satisfy you. You do have to seek and to search and pay before you receive the pearl of great value. There's all sorts of things in this world you give up in order to get. But in this case, you get the pearl of great value. You get the kingdom of heaven. And I think you are going to enjoy it for a long time. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand for prayer? Lord of creation, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, your Son, we have been adopted by baptism to know you, to truly be our Father, and that when we call upon you in prayer, we are assured that you hear our prayers and will answer them. Heavenly Father, give your holy Christian church an increase of ministers and teachers who faithfully preach and teach the word of life. Declare your glory among all the nations, and send messengers to open the hearts and minds of the unbelieving. Turn them from the darkness of evil to the light of the gospel, from the power of Satan to the peace of Christ, that they may receive the forgiveness of their sins and inherit the kingdom of heaven. Look with favor upon our land, that true liberty, perfect justice, and pure morals may prevail in every corner of our society, and that ungodly and wicked works may be destroyed. Send your spirit of holiness into our homes. Let the word of Christ in all wisdom dwell richly in our families. And may all parents be fine examples of Christian virtues. Shelter us from the storms of life and defend us from all evil. O merciful Father, give unto your children who may be enduring pain, sickness, disease, mental or spiritual anguish, or any other adversity of body or soul, such an assurance of your love and mercy that they may commit themselves wholly unto your care and receive from you all they need for their help and salvation. We thank you for delivering Phyllis Panghorn from this veil of tears to heavenly glory this past Monday. Comfort her family with the knowledge of her firm faith in her Savior. And look over all of our synodical convention this week in Milwaukee. May all decisions be pleasing to you and give safety to all who travel. As you sent your Son into the world that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, keep us by your mighty power blameless in the midst of this perverse and wicked world, so that we may attain the crown of life. To that end, grant that we may be filled with the knowledge of your holy will, gladly obey your commandments, be fruitful in every good work, and also strengthened in patience and persistence of faith. We are truly grateful for all of the material and spiritual benefits that continually flow down to us from your bountiful hand. Set our minds on the things of above, where there are lasting joys and pearls of great price. So bring us at last into your kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of eternal light. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sins and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by his all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his testament. Gathered together, we pray from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb is in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us
this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us
not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and